like, all right, what we have here.
You like it?
Going to the beginning, yeah. Good
for you.
Use that shit. You guys want my deca? I don't really. Unless at the crib, that's the only time I use that shit. Let's welcome y'all. Another episode 180, Great American Hip Hop Debate Podcast with
Michigan,
our esteemed guest,
Iowa.
Kingdom Come, straight from MIAO, you know what I'm saying? You know what I'm saying?
Argentino, baby.
Como siempre,
Michigan, Iowa.
You know what I'm saying?
Argentina en la casa.
That's right. We got the family, of course.
Peace, Max Lowe, baby. What up?
Two Maxes in the house.
Yeah, that's
right.
That's how we do it, baby.
PS to the OP here. You know, we repping our
Argentina. Primo, baby.
That's how we do, you know what I mean? Yeah, man. So, welcome, brother.
Thank
welcome
you.
To NYC, of course.
Yes, sir.
You know, this beautiful spot that our brother Max picked out and shit.
It's our reunion spot.
Yeah, absolutely.
Anytime I get up with my brother Max.
Absolutely.
Anytime he comes to NY,
we
come in.
We got the mic back on deck.
Argentina Bruce.
You know what I mean? We're doing it big, you know what I mean?
Yes, sir.
Got the family in the house celebrating your son's
13th birthday. Yes, sir.
Happy born day to Enoch, man. 13.
That's biblical. I like that.
Yeah.
Very good, my brother. Very good. So, I mean, we could get started from the beginning, man.
Let's do it.
So, you were born in Argentina, Mar del Plata.
Yes, sir. Awesome. September 27, 1978.
September,
in the middle of the dictatorship of Bob Spurston.
Yeah, right.
We're gonna get into that after.
Yeah, Mr. Madness.
Yeah. So you were born in 78. I don't want to get too specific. But definitely, you were born in 78. You know what I'm saying? And how long after you were born did you immigrate to the United States, and where exactly?
Dog, my family. I mean, as soon as I was born, my older sister was 3.
Mm-hmm.
I was 10 months old.
Okay.
And that's when my pops left for Miami. And then a couple months after, my mom took me and my older sister out there. So I was 10, 11 months old.
So your pops came first, huh?
Yeah, he came first. Tried. I mean,
$20
in your pocket.
Yeah, but no sabe nada. Like, you don't know where you're coming to, you know what I'm saying?
Anything was better than where we were at.
Yeah,
especially at that time.
They were jailed. A lot of their friends got clipped.
Well, that's aparecido. We're going to talk about that.
So they were like, yo, we get the fuck out of here.
Yeah.
My mom was a painter, my dad was like an artist in a sense, you know.
Okay.
So,
okay.
Yeah. Man. So I was a baby, bro.
So you got that's where basically your artistic gene comes from.
100%.
That's what's up.
Both
of my parents are artists.
That's dope. That's amazing. Yeah. So it runs. It's in your blood.
100%.
No matter what. Man, that's dope. And then you went to Florida. You went to Miami.
Miami Beach. You know where every Argentinian goes.
If they're not up here, they're down there.
Yeah.
They're
not in Queens. They're over there.
Yeah. Exactly. Yeah. Miami Beach, which in that time, you know, was crazy.
Wow.
Yeah.
In the '80s.
Cubans, Colombians,
drug wars, and
shit. Argentinians too. Yeah.
That's crazy.
So you were right,
the whole cocaine runners and
La guerra.
I mean, I didn't realize that until I was a little older.
Word,
but I was like, oh shit.
But your parents saw that shit.
Oh, and
so they must have like been like, damn, we came, move from over there, and now we come here.
100%. I mean, a lot of that is like glorified. It was going down. Miami Beach did take a big shift, late '70s, early '80s, but a lot of that shit was going down. Kendall, South Miami, but yeah, it influxed into the beach. It went from like old Jewish people hanging out there to
running
money and dope. And it definitely was a shift.
And they built, and honestly, like, you got to look at it too. A lot of that money that built that style.
Not, bro. Miami was built on bricks.
Exactly.
Literal bricks.
Yeah.
100%.
And we ain't talking stone.
Yeah. That's what I mean. Colombian bricks.
100%. Miami is cocaine capital.
Word.
So let me ask you this. Then.
So good.
How do you think that shaped? Well, let me go back a little further. When was the first time you heard hip hop or rap or any type of music, and at least hip hop, and you thought, I can do that, or I want to do that? Or what did you hear? Was like, damn, I want to sound like that.
I can remember vividly, like, you know, getting LL Cool J walking.
So, when it's coming soon, are you going to daughter?
Yeah.
Sí, también.
Yeah, tranquilo. Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
Yo quiero una milanesa de carne.
Una milanesa de carne para ti.
Eso viene con un lado, ¿no?
No viene con una guardia.
Es ensalada de dos entonces.
Perfecto, perfecto. Una ensaladita de carne, una milanesa de carne.
¿Los acompañantes que vienen? ¿Para compartir o para...?
Bueno, es una orden o porción normal que la pueden compartir.
Para mí una milanesa también y con ensalada rusa. Aquí estamos.
como prensa revista rusa.
A mí lo mismo, lo mismo,
Fabio. Tres de la misma cosa. Ajá. Fácil.
Perfecto, perfecto.
Y para los pibes, milanesas de carne all the way around. Okay. Y acompañantes, guys, what do you want? Is
what do you guys want? Sides?
French fries, mashed potato, salad.
French fries.
Papa frita, all three.
Papa frita para los tres.
Yeah, yeah,
I'm
going to
get the same as everybody.
Okay.
Los sides fries.
Seis milanesas.
Fácil. Y está bien tranquilo.
Hey, fácil.
Y tres papas fritas. Tres de la rusa y tres papas fritas. Correcto.
Perfecto.
Listo.
Está.
Perfecto. Gracias, eh. Gracias,
caballero.
Gracias.
Alright, so
yeah, so like, back to the hip.
So how was that? So how was like growing up in Miami and then listening, like who introduced you to hip hop? And like I said, when you heard it, you're like, damn, I want to do that or I can do that.
I mean, like any 70s, 80s kids, I feel like we were born different around right. that time. Like, I was listening to, you know, before hip hop came in my life, which after that it was like a complete love. But I was listening to shit like Slayer, and
right,
Brains,
right.
and Iron Maiden, right. skateboarding. Okay. Yeah, I love heavy metal. And then, you know, I heard that like Cool J, a friend had that walking like a, with the Panther album, and I remember vividly buying the P Takes a Nation at I was 10.
Wow, best
that came out in '88,
bro. Yeah,
I was 10 years old. Wow. That when that album came out, that's when it was like. Like you know, I was like, you know, because I like Slayer and Bad Brains and metal and,
yeah.
and all that type of different, and then folklore from my family listening
course,
to that type of shit.
Claro.
But like that one, it was like, oh shit, this is like speaking.
It touched you like,
and that's it. From that moment, it was like,
you know what's funny is that we paralleled in that, like you and I, we paralleled, me and my cousins as well, because that's what we started out listening to in our house was like Slayer, Metallica, Anthrax. I love Anthrax.
Yeah, me too.
To this day, it's to this day
one of the best thrash metal bands.
Yeah, absolutely, 100%.
I agree.
You know what I'm saying? But it's like you know, when I first heard hip hop, I was like,
yes,
it's cool to me.
Because it's the same vein, bro. It's rebellion.
Yes,
it comes from the street. It's true purity in its most amazing form.
Right. So it's funny how you were able to go from that and then go straight to hip hop and make it like an easy transition. Because a lot of people won't do that. You know, some people will stick to just rock.
Yeah.
Or some people will just stick to just hip hop. We'll venture out. You know what I'm saying? Very far from that.
100%.
So that's dope that you got like an expansive knowledge of just not just hip hop.
Yeah, no, totally. You know, and then older, as I got older, I was deep into roots reggae and stuff. And
right. Oh, of course.
You know, like in my early teens, I was deep into Rastafari for a long time.
But, well, up here with us growing up, like that was big in our culture. You like reggae, like
reggae
song.
Was huge. Yeah.
That was always at the party.
Every party in the early 90s. Yeah,
that was big part of
it. Yeah,
it was more
sound
system. Like in the parties back then, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
When y'all had this dance, remember this shit?
We had that shit. That's when you can't dance. That's
the fuck
I can do this. That in a mean
step. That was the shit right there.
Big fast.
But yeah, I'd say that P album.
Yeah. That's
changed the phase. Was like,
that's a great album to mention, though. That's a classic album. Yeah. It's a game changer right there. It's considered to a lot the best album ever made. So, I mean, that's a great album, bro.
It's up there. Yeah. And then I was deep into the graffiti scene, too. Like, so, you know, that,
nice.
Yeah. That kind of like played a part in
all parts of the culture.
And
that's, basically, like,
that's dope about you, too, because a lot of hip hop artists nowadays, they won't. They'll think rap is hip hop,
mm-hmm.
and rap is just an aspect of hip hop. It's what you do. Hip hop is how you live.
No.
You know what I'm saying? And the fact that you picked up rapping and all that early, before you even started rapping.
Yeah, 100%.
So you're really built in, like it's built within you.
No. Exactly. It's ingrained, bro. I say it all the time. Yeah. You know, I live it. I breathe it.
Yeah.
I cook. It's hip hop as fuck. How I dress.
Right.
To me, you know, fashion.
Oh, fashion is a big part of it.
It's always been.
Infinite.
It's like another element for me, honestly.
Absolutely.
I think that came first.
We'll get this one.
Así bien argento.
That's it. Yeah, for sure.
Break bread.
Yeah, where's more?
Yeah, man. Yeah, so back to, like, that's dope, like, that you don't only listen to hip hop. That you're not only
It is funny, like, when I'm in album mode, I barely listen to hip hop. I'm listening to everything.
Get out of here, bro.
Yeah, okay. I don't want to be, like, influenced. No, I feel like, even subconsciously, I might get influenced by stuff, so I try to, like, I'll listen to, like, reggae root shit, stacks from, like, early 70s, soul shit, or,
70s R&B type.
Dope. Yeah.
Like,
R&B better
just
than
the vibe,
that.
You know?
Music, word,
yeah, it's dope. Yeah.
See, because I'm so like one way. I'm not going to lie. I'm all like hip-hop.
But I'm like you too. That's all I breathe.
Yeah.
No, absolutely.
Like, that's all I listen to. Like, we're twins. Nothing can live.
There's a reason we got the same name.
Last time he was out here, we chill. He puts on his, we took it over. He's like, yo, let me connect my phone.
Yeah.
First thing he puts on is Cellar Dwellers. I'm like, what? I'm like, oh, we good, baby.
We
good.
We come from that era.
We come from that, like. Yeah,
again,
no era better than that.
Again, you can tell a lot.
Enjoy, guys. Bon appétit. Muchas gracias, amigo.
You know what I mean? So, don't get me wrong. Everybody, though, that's another thing. Like, we all have our guilty pleasures. Like, an artist that we shouldn't like, but we do like.
Yeah, totally. I got tons of those, bro.
But for the most part, gracias, primo. But for the most part, you know, music taste is impactful.
Yeah, no. Wholeheartedly, fam.
You know what I'm saying?
Oh, thank you.
All right, so... When did you pick up the mic? When did you decide this is it?
So,
I'm gonna try this.
You know, 10 years old, I fell in love with the culture, the art, and it, you know, it engulfed every aspect of my life. And then, you know, 13, 14, started smoking weed, running around thinking I could rap, you know, started doing freestyling with all the homies, get to school, do ciphers. So that was 14 to 16, 17. You know, I would always write. Like, I always wrote from like 8 or 9. So,
get out of
poetry.
Here.
Poetry. Nice. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like,
that's dope, though.
Poetry shit. And then, you know, I would always craft the pen like that. And then it wasn't until I was, like, 16 or 17 where I was like, all right.
You want to do
like,
a try, but...
Fuck the freestyle, having fun shit. Yeah. I'm going to actually try to, like, write songs and content.
Work.
And, like, I'm going to come out and do this shit. So that's when it was like, all right, the shit. You know what I'm saying?
What
it wasn't until I was about 19, 20 where it was like, all right.
You took it serious?
Yeah,
I had a label with a homie of mine in Miami, and that was, like, the birth of what I was doing.
Kind of. Alright, so no doubt. So tell me about your first label in the early 90s, Doomsday Records.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
Doomsday Crew.
Nice. He knows shit. That's my buddy.
Tell me about God's Will and all
Let's
that.
Get it.
So God's Will, that's my brother. Shout out God's Will.
Peace.
Doomsday Records, man. It was like heavily influenced by Sons of Man, I would say. That was like antithesis of what I love. Yeah. Like, you know, there was this like Christian group called Remnant Militia. I don't know if you remember them, but they were like...
Where are they from?
I don't know, but they were like religious Sons of Man. They were
dope.
So like that's what I was influenced by. And then, you know, we were doing that type of like godly street hop, like gutter street
like,
shit, but like
YP and shit, yeah, my man YP, he'd be on his shit like that.
But like conscious.
Like he mixes with Christianity in there, but with like street tales and shit.
Yeah,
like, you know what I mean?
And I was always influenced by all types of religion, like, you know, I gravitated to Rastafarianism.
No doubt.
But Islam has always played a part in my life.
Word. Most of our favorite MCs are either 5% of Islam.
I mean,
that's
what got me into, you know, doing mathematics.
That's what I'm saying. Like, most of our favorite MCs, that's what they do.
Right.
It's crazy. I never noticed it until years after. And I'm like, holy shit, a lot of my guys that I like spit
You'd
that
be surprised
math and shit. Like,
how 5% culture and 5% teachings is interwoven in hip hop.
Yes, it is. Hugely involved.
It plays a huge part. I mean, all our favorite MCs were gain knowledge of self.
Peace to the gods, man.
One of the first dudes I can remember was Just Ice.
Ooh, damn.
You know what I'm saying? That was one of the first.
Pink Sun was one of mine. From Patterson, New Jersey, too, is another one. And I didn't know what the fuck they were talking about. I just something up. Man, why is intelligent?
You
got to with him.
Yeah,
that's God right there.
Yeah,
that's one of
bro.
My favorite MCs.
Dude, he's one of the illest in me.
We're
going
to get to all the legends you work with. I got them all listed here, right here.
Work.
No, but back to your question.
God's Will and Doomsday Records.
Yeah, we started a label in Ives Dairy where I grew up in Miami. Ives Dairy. Bought a little 4-track. 97, 98.
Ill time of hip hop.
Damn,
so
right there.
A lot of good albums.
Yeah, right when we was like, all right, we're actually nice. Like, we took it from the corner to like, yo, you know, we clicked. Uh-huh. That was my brother. He's still present in my life. I love that brother.
That's what's up.
But yeah, we started the label, and you know, it was me and him. And then we started working with another group from Miami, kind of click. Frank Rizzo, who was known as Mentor back then, and Verbalist. We kind of meshed that group, and it kind of became Doomsday.
Okay.
And then my brother Benny Nug from Philly, from Upper Darby,
South
Florida.
Right, that's Philly right there.
And then he became part of it, and like, you know, we had an ill team, man.
So since you started, you had like East Coast people too, like.
Yeah, like
East Coast, like an influence.
That's
like,
the thing,
up north.
Up north,
well,
yeah, that's
I know.
Yeah, true.
No, but everyone's like, yo, you're from New York, and I get it all the time.
Yeah,
but being like my first concert was Two Live Crew, man. Like,
okay,
like,
yo,
you know,
legends,
seventh
bro.
Grade.
That's yeah, they legends,
bro. Like, that's what I mean. We were doing shit that, like,
yeah, nah, y'all was doing shows out there differently than what we had. Y'all
no, bro. I live that too.
Word,
like,
word,
bass music,
oh, yeah, bass. That's right.
That's but like when it comes to hip hop and MC, I just gravitated towards that because that's what I was listening to.
Yeah, you more of a lyrical, you like
lyrical style.
Why did you choose the instead of going?
I mean, there's all the shit of mine flowing around there. That's like I can get on some stuff, shit, and bounce, but I feel like it goes against.
I got you.
Like I'll do it, but sometimes it's forced. Like I can do it to a point now where I'll do it now.
Yeah,
like, it's natural.
What I honestly think, I think it's basically because of your parents. How could I put it? Your anti-establishment.
Yes.
You know what
I'm
saying?
Yeah.
And
yeah,
doing
I like
that poppy stuff that's going
well
against
put,
what
well
you
put.
Believe. What's inside of you, my brother?
Very well put.
So well said.
You know what I'm saying?
That's
so
that
like,
beautiful.
I think,
well
I think it
yeah.
Not
exactly.
So like, you know
something
I mean?
My
so
heart's like, yeah,
it's cool, but this is not me. This is not
yeah.
what I do.
Yeah.
I get it. That's why, like, I think you gravitated.
Yeah, yeah, wholeheartedly, bro. Wholeheartedly.
Where it was like more informational, cause not for nothing,
work.
A person today listening to your music could actually learn a lot, cause you're actually teaching in your music.
I try to like, I don't know. There was a saying something like I always say like if I could write like how Kurt Cobain wrote music or Bob Marley did, where it's like subtle, you just drop the breadcrumb,
mm-hmm.
right? You know what I'm saying? Let people, because that's what the older gods would put me up on my superheroes.
No doubt.
I'd be like, oh shit, what is that about? Let me go study for myself. So,
yeah,
you know, there's hidden gems in all of it. And it's up to
word.
You to just decipher and, you know,
word.
And
hell yeah.
You know, study.
So, right. So you had, like, we spoke about Doomsday Records, and then you went on to Body Shop.
I do.
You know, before that, so Doomsday kind of like, you know, it was like a lot of chefs in the kitchen.
Okay.
You know.
Okay.
Too many cheese, not enough Indians.
Yeah.
Yeah, and like I got love for all my brothers, but it was just, I had to like, I don't know.
Thank you.
I've learned that I need to be in control of my art. I can't have nobody. You know, and it was amazing. We had a bunch of dope MCs.
Mm-hmm.
But it just got to the point where I think I outgrew it a little bit. And, you know, we were putting all our energy into Benny Nutt as our first solo artist.
Yeah.
And I was still doing my things. And mm-hmm. kind of trained myself to. I didn't want to learn the business, but I had to.
Yeah.
Publishing, this, that, like, what the fuck, you know? My artistry kind of took a backseat. And, you know, Benny got locked up and had to do a long bid. And, you know, a lot of the artists weren't putting in the same work ethic. So it got to the point where it was like, alright, you know what? This is kind of like falling apart in a sense.
Mm-hmm.
Still my brothers to this day, but just all great things come to an end.
Yeah.
And around that point, it was I linked up with my peoples in NMB, No More Bull.
Okay.
That's another label they had, and I kind of joined their ranks. They had a nice independent record that was buzzing on college radios, probably 2002, 2003, 2004, maybe.
Salute to college radios. They always played underground shit everywhere. Bro.
Best college radio on the station was Bobito.
Stretch and Bob, baby.
Stretch and Bob.
That's what we grew up on. Like,
exactly.
That's it. There was no Hot 97.
Yeah, y'all were
Stretch and Bob for me.
Y'all
we was privileged for the radio shows up here.
WKCR.
Yeah, to me, it ain't even Stretch and Bob anyways. It's 89 Tech 9. Like, 89.9, that's 89 Tech 9, motherfucker.
We had the right way. Miami radio, and then we had to scour to find, you know,
from
other
radio.
When you actually had to do the work and, like, find
it. It's crazy because Miami's a big fucking city. Like, it should be way more outlets than you would think. I mean, I'm pretty sure there probably was. It was just, you know, it wasn't like over here, like it had mad underground stations, but it was just a lot of people to know about them. You know what I'm saying?
I think, in my opinion, Miami today, if let's say back in the day, like in the mid to 80s,
we had a dope hip hop scene that people
you do
don't even
now,
know about.
Now
no, even
amazing.
Before that, people don't even know about, like Breakin' and Graphin'.
Yeah.
Legendary.
But
legendary.
I think, in my opinion, like the reason why they couldn't catch up was because there was no internet. So everything was separated by phone
region
call.
And shit. Like,
it
was
so
regional.
Now,
it was
the internet
yeah.
made the world this much smaller.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So I think, in my opinion, I think if the internet existed back then,
they'd be
up there with
it.
No, we church giants, bro.
I think they'd be up there with it. Even though this is the Mecca, like we're in the Mecca.
Yeah,
and this is the birthplace and all that, but I think the internet made the world that much smaller.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
New York, anything happened in New York, you heard around the fucking fucking world. You know what I'm saying? So I was like, yeah, you know?
No, but even with music back in the day, the way music used to travel, like you would get a mixtape here, and it wouldn't reach down there for like a month or two.
Yeah.
Right.
It had to make it round. It had to make it round.
We already knew, like Murder Music, it was bootlegged out here.
Exactly.
4 or 5 months before it dropped.
I love that album.
We had that.
Love that album.
I first heard that album through John the Baptist.
Why does he sound familiar?
He's a Wu-Tang.
Okay, I know him.
I live next to him for...
He's not like an underground guy like that.
No, he produced on Beneath the Surface, and I think...
Really? That's my favorite.
And Liquid Swords. No, I lived next to him, so that's how my link came with all the stuff to Man Cat.
That's dope.
I got to work with all of
them. Dope as shit right there.
Oh, yeah. So I heard that when it was like before it came out. I was like,
see, you heard that before we do that. And yo, this is my favorite Warren C, too. That's my guy.
That's still one of my favorite mob records. I know people are like, I don't know why, but Murder Music.
Murder Music's great. To me, it's the third best album, but it's fucking like right there, like with both of them.
Murder Music, I mean, benefited from Quiet Storm.
Yeah, Quiet Storm to me was one of the illest. Like
Quiet Storm was a beast, but then
one of the best beats ever.
The remix, in my opinion, was when the original dropped, we felt it.
But then when the remix came out,
it took it commercial.
Too commercial, yeah.
But
no,
it came on it?
Yeah, it was just too commercial. Yeah. It's like, to even me, I was like,
yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So she made it
commercial. But she sucked cocks to get to that. I was like, all right, bro, I'm like, I don't want to do this shit.
I know.
I get it, though, what they do. You know what I mean?
Yeah, but, I mean, that's the benefit from that.
And to me, that's where Alchemist started really, like, coming out and, like, rocked a good beat, bro. Days one of my favorite producers. Beast producer, man.
Yeah.
You got some new shit on the Benny album. Fuck it.
I haven't heard it yet. That's the one.
Because the Alchemist is just a magician, bro. I swear to God, he's a magician. You got those one track, you got three different features.
$10.
But, sorry, I'm late.
I love the side quest. That's how portals get open.
That's the war zones and shit, bro.
That's the Malbec talking right there.
Alright,
so you had
Doomsday graduated to NMB.
Okay.
I became part of their crew. It was like a 6-man crew, really dope.
All MCs?
All MCs and producers. Dominican cats, Brazilian cats.
Oh, nice. I like that.
It was like very tribe, but very Miami. Like, you know. All Latino,
that's dope. You get all the Latino nations together to come together and form a big fucking like
group. Those are my brothers, and that was dope, amazing. But you know, they had success with the first album. We were working on other stuff. Business plans got into effect. I had some situations come up, and like everything, bro. At that point, after a 2-3 year thing with that, like, you know what? I'm gonna step back. And that's the first of Body Shop, BC record.
Okay.
When it was like mid 2000s, I'd say 2007, 8, 9,
whole container of butter with the wrapper.
Okay.
2007 or 8.
The whole
gritty shit.
And you were, now you had Body Shop record. Were you the primary artist, or did you have other artists?
I was the CEO, I was an artist, but I had other artists. Yeah. Trauma Unit was my brother Severe and Calipos, Dominican and Haitian cats. Still some of the nastiest MCs
to this day. La Española. La Española, before it got split up.
Exactly.
La Española, baby. Salute to them, man. So it's you, baby. I'm not Dominican. I love you.
Me and Verbalist had some shit. Benny Nuff was on the label for a bit. And then we had success. I had an artist called Billie Jean, which is, she would be what Nicki Minaj is to this day. She was
she named after the movie?
Yeah.
Or the,
I gave her name.
Yeah.
After the 80s
because of the movie or because of the...
Because of the movie.
That movie fucking classic, too. I love that movie.
Oh, son, you know how much I sampled that shit?
Y'all love that movie, bro.
She had a buzz, bro. I had her on track.
One of the ghosts I had, bro.
We were working with Kool and Dre and Khaled and all this shit.
Keep playing.
Buzzing on the street. She had Young Cash on her joint, Tayshia French. Back when it was like, you know, the mixtape game was moving heavy.
Yeah.
And we had a couple deals, shit was moving. We had Sony interested, Universal. And I think it went to our head a little bit. The work ethic didn't match the hustle. I was in full CEO and management type of thing. And, you know, like a lot of cats didn't want to sign contracts and get on the business shit. Talk about I'm trying to get to business with it, but
that's
the growth, son.
Yeah,
so,
yeah.
You know, bumped heads a little bit with a couple of my brothers. And then she, you know, in the midst of this this deal that we were getting, she kind of dropped the ball. She was important, wanted to get out of her contract, and we're getting a legal battle with her.
and then I lost like a, I'm getting a jacket and quarter mil deal. That's
my wishes.
That was around when I turned 28, 29. Yeah, and I just stepped back. Yeah. Like, fuck all this business shit. And that's, I think, when Kingdom Come was born again as an artist. Right? Right. Like, fuck the industry, fuck the trend, fuck the business. I'm going to do what I love, I'm going to come back to me. And that's when I started working on Point of View, my first solo album.
Right.
And it was like, yo, fuck that.
Yeah, I was gonna ask you. So, how hard is it that you manage or balance? That's an even better word. Balance being a CEO of a record label and also being an artist on the same record label. Mm-hmm. How do you not Jay-Z everybody? Put yourself first. You know what I'm saying? I'm just saying.
Good question. No. Yeah. Because I don't know, my vision and my determination was so
good.
Like, I'm a hard headed fuck, bro. So, like, when I set my eyes on a goal, I'm gonna accomplish it one way or another. And I know the end result, and you know, it just wasn't coming fast enough. But I knew if I stayed eyes to the prize and true to my desires and my artistry, it would pan off. And you know, that's I say it all the time, the gift ain't in the fucking, you know, it's in the climb, bro. I had to go for all
that. Exactly.
So, you know, Body Talk died down. We had a buzz in the street. That shit died, and it was like I took a step back. Okay. Around that time, I met my wife.
Vaseline.
You know, fell in love. My stepfather. You know, my son came, and that's when it was like, all right, it's time to do me. And that's when Walking With Enough Music was birthed. It was like a name label after my son. And that's when I was like, all right, that's it. It's time to focus on me.
Okay, so was this around the time that you made the move from Miami to Carolina?
It was right around, so I was working on that Point of View album before a year or so. A lot of the tracks were older stuff that was left over.
Okay.
And then I'd say 20% of it was five stage songs. And then a lot of it was recorded before I moved to the Carolinas. Yeah.
Wow, okay. So how was that move to Carolina? How hard was it to leave your home?
Especially from Miami.
Exactly.
It's a big difference. I know it
Sean,
is.
I could tell you because I experienced the same
thing. Yeah. That's like a fucking montaña. Like.
I experienced the same exact thing you did. Because I moved from this area to Charlottesville, Virginia.
Oh, that's right. You did go there.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So, I know exactly what you went through.
Bro, I still get into this day.
Tell me that.
So, you know, my mom lived up there, and then my older sister lived up there, and I fought it for years.
I
got married my wife, I had an older stepfather, she had kids from her marriage, I was a full dad.
Okay, 3 hours.
And then when I went to Enoch, that's when it was like, yo, I don't want him growing up, I like it.
Right.
I wanna change his life. Yes, I don't want him to experience my experience.
Oh, sorry.
Yeah, this ain't the place. And then you know, for my stepkids too.
I don't want it.
And I fought it for years until I was like, yo, in my heart I knew. I wanted my mom to be closer to her grandson, which she always wanted.
Okay.
And you know, me and my wife had a business at the
time.
Go to screen time.
Se lo que te puedo pedir, ¿quieres Fernet?
Fernet, por supuesto.
Dame una Fernet. Pero mira, Fernet tiene que ser 30-40%. No me den esa mierdita así de
media. Un poco de doble shot de Fernet y un poco de coca.
Ahí está.
O si quieren, traerme la botella y yo te muestro cómo hacerlo. Fernet cola, papá.
That's right. Get with it.
Yeah, so, you know, I knew in my heart it was the right thing to do. But I was ready, son.
Yeah.
Like, you know, you gotta fly, you gotta leave the crib to grow.
Right.
And
right.
As much as I love Miami, I take it wherever I was going. Even at that time, all my peoples were there, you know.
Right.
I didn't want to leave, but I knew in my soul to grow, I had to.
How old were you at the moment?
I have gone to 54 years.
32, 33.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Something
yeah.
like that. 34. Salvaje.
I'm trying to
grab
the pen.
Yeah, about that.
It wasn't me.
And you know, it was, I loved it. Like, we would visit up there, my mom and my sisters over the holidays. Yeah, uh-huh. Take the kids up there. As soon as Enoch was born, like, we spent close to the first year.
Okay, look, papita.
And my sister up there, like, you know, while I got everything ready to move. And it was beautiful for the first year. And then, you know, if we're talking about like the culture shock, to this day,
I'm still guarded, like.
Yeah, people
are really nice. Oh, what the fuck are you looking at? I'm in defense mode.
You don't understand how many times like I would be walking down the road with my girl.
It's a dope
okay.
Entendió la misión,
that's
a Fernet call. 40, 40. 60-40.
60-40. Cheers, my brother.
Salud.
Salud, carajo.
Salud. But yeah, to this day, son, it's so hard. You know, I got people that come up from the crib or that are from Miami to move up there.
Yeah.
It's like,
I didn't know this.
My people. And because it's like hard to relate, you know? Like I was telling y'all earlier, we grew up in an era where if you didn't grow up in that,
yeah,
you can't
yeah.
compute what it was like or what we endured or how we lived or what we experienced. It's another
totally different. It's
another world.
It's a different life.
100%.
So culture shock. Yeah, I would be the same.
Majorly. I still get a good thing. So I have my love and hate with Western North Carolina. I love it.
Yeah.
Because it's peaceful. It's my sanctuary. I got my people there. But the people are weird as fuck. I mean, it's just Southern America.
Yeah. It's weird. It's a little weird.
I'm not gonna lie, every time I feel like when I do go down south, it's like everything moves slow.
100%.
Right, yeah, I don't know if it's just me or
but
anybody.
I was ready
come
for
up
that.
Here.
I knew that. I was like,
it's
I was
so
ready
slow.
To slow the fuck down.
Like, yo, I'm driving in Florida and I'm driving. I'm like, hurry the fuck up. Drive your fucking car. My girl's like, relax, it's Florida. I'm like, what the fuck you mean? They're like, you drive slow and shit.
Nah,
like,
we drive like maniacs. I don't know where in Florida.
I was like, maybe you drive, man. I'm trying to drive down.
Miami's barbaric. It's fucking.
I guess I'm used to Miami with like the boroughs. I don't know. It's a little fucking more. It's a different animal.
Yeah, no, I agree.
You know
y'all savage,
but yeah, and I'm driving trucks. So it's like I'm, you know, man, everybody, get out of the fucking way.
Yeah.
Right,
but
so
yeah, but
you moved to Carolina. You had your son.
You started my label.
No doubt. So how did
you started your label?
Mm-hmm. How did having a family now affect your music, the process, everything?
Immensely, bro. It was tremendous. Mm-hmm.
How did fatherhood change you, basically, your music?
For the better, bro. It saved my life. I mean, you know,
right.
I was wilding.
Yeah.
You know, it was like
running and gunning,
living the life, you know, the clubs, the bottles, the females, the fake shit.
Yeah.
That shit was like the facade, bro.
Yeah.
It was like,
yeah,
I was over that shit.
All the
like,
shit that don't matter.
Then I was like, yo, I fell in love, and I didn't give a fuck that shit. I fell in love with my kids.
Right.
They're my kids. Exactly. I raised those kids. I'm divorced now, but they still my kids, you know? Like,
that's what's up.
I love my kids.
So you're still in contact with them and stuff? Like,
hands down, bro. You know, I'm a dad first. I say it all the time.
Word.
I'm a father first, before I'm anything. You know, my 13-year-old son's right there. And that's my biggest flex.
Mm-hmm.
Fuck all that shit. Yeah. Fuck jewelry.
He's your biggest work.
Fuck everything, son. My son. That's how, you know, that's my prodigy. Like, you know,
exactly.
He drives me crazy now. He just turned 13, but that's
what you do, man.
You know, he turned 13 and I was crying like a little bitch. And he's like, Dad, what are you crying for? And I'm like, I'm emotional, bro.
You're Argentina. Like, we're emotional people, though.
You were just...
We're passionate.
We're passionate. But we're emotional. Like, when we won the World Cup, bro,
down.
I started, like, tearing and shit.
That's
all
passion,
I swear to God, I FaceTimed him. I was like, yo, he picks up the phone. He's like, I was like, yo, all right.
You playing too?
Yeah. Well, I'll let you tell them tomorrow, bro.
Dude, there's that one line from a Swollen Members joint that Matt Child says, I don't. I think it's Bad Dreams. Or
that's my shit. Bad Dreams is my shit.
Or he's, no, it's not Bad Dreams. He's like, I don't cry. I cry. Something about like, I cry watching movies. I don't cry in real life.
Okay.
Some shit like that where I'm like, bro, I get some sentimental.
Yeah,
getting older.
I have my moments.
I get emotional.
Yeah, I get emotional. Like, emotional for certain shit. Like, my girl's always like, you're so sick. So dry. I'm like, I'm sorry. She's like, the only shit I notice for you is when you get mad.
Yeah.
And when you're like extra happy.
No,
like,
but that's
because nothing.
That's
because
we feel a lot.
Yeah,
you gotta be.
I always gotta walk.
You gotta be tough.
I mean, yeah, exactly. I was raised with all men.
Yeah.
Like, my mother was the only woman in my family. It was all men.
You know what's
so? To me, it was like my dad raised me to
just
be a tough guy. Bro. Like, so to me, it was like,
my grandma and my mom raised me.
Exactly.
I was raised with a lot of love.
Okay.
My mother, my grandmother, my aunt raised me.
True. Word. That's right. Yeah.
By the way, shout out.
Oh,
Buenos Aires, we had this beautiful spot.
Yeah. Word, look at this.
Great.
Look at this salada rusa right here. It's to die for, bro.
Me and my brother Max always get that salada rusa.
Bro, this is our favorite. La milanesa con chimichurri.
And this is the Don Chimichurri approved.
Yeah, well, it is.
I make
it's
it a little
better.
Shout out to Buenos Aires.
But this
come
is
here
good.
If you want to get
this
real authentic
Argentinian
food, Argentinian cuisine.
Yeah, man. This is like you feel like you went into somebody's house when you come in.
Big facts.
But yeah, being a father, son, it's the most beautiful and painful thing ever.
It is.
And I wouldn't change it.
That's
for
cool. It's the same thing in words.
Yeah.
It's like
so
the most
so juxtaposed.
Yeah, of course.
You know how cats like flex on their being a father? It's not a road everyone needs to take or drive. Yeah. But if you're blessed enough to be a father, man.
A lot of people can't be fathers. Like, they have kids and just don't do anything with it. Like, there's a lot of people that like that, man.
I don't know, bro.
You know? It's a hard thing to do. Like, you gotta be tough to read that. That's a real tough guy to me.
Yeah, absolutely.
That's a real tough guy, is to stay there and know what to do. Even if you don't know what to do, learn from it.
It's like that Sam Bong tale. When De Niro's like, you wanna know who the
tough guy is? Yeah, it's my movie. I love it.